Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Families that have a high net worth sometimes retain the services of something called a family office. And that family office can do lots and lots of different things. It can focus on financial planning and investments and all that stuff. But it can also include work on financial literacy and education. Stephanie Dean is the manager of financial literacy at RBC Family Office Services. And she joins us today from Victoria, British Columbia. Hello there.
Hello, Bruce.
What is a family office?
Yes. Well, we like to provide integrated expertise to all of our clients, all of our families. So integrated expertise, like you said, offers financial planning. It could be tax and legal professionals, business owner, business succession planning, philanthropy, and then in my role, financial literacy.
You're not serving the, you know, 30 million Canadians that live in this country currently. You have I assume, an assets under management threshold. There's something that would enable a client to take advantage of those services. What's the typical family? Is it net worth of $1 million, $10 million?
I think across RBC Wealth Management Canada, we have all kinds of clients. They are professionals, they are business owners, they're retirees or regular families. And so rather than focusing on that specific dollar value, I think it's getting the advisor that is the right fit for the family and the family situation.
Well, that makes sense. But if you're the client, you've got to make sure that you've got the assets to afford those services. It's not free.
For sure, it's not, you know, and that's right. You have a good point. So I think within the whole RBC family, RBC Wealth Management does cater to families that do have assets or assets to manage. But with the RBC family, we would find a fit for everyone.
I understand all that. But if we're talking about family offices, which we are, what would have the matriarch of the family say, I'm going to work one-on-one with the financial advisor versus I'm going to work with the family offices portion? Because there's all those other ancillary things.
Yes, fantastic. Okay, let's see. So I think advisors across Canada, some of them will work with households with, say, $250,000 or $500,000. And some focus more specifically on those $1 million plus households or even higher net worth, depending on the business model.
Right. The reason why this is such an important question, Stephanie, is we're talking about financial literacy in the context of family offices. And that's a different world. Like the kinds of things that you teach are going to be in some ways different for families that have more assets, right, than it would be for those who have very few. So I think that's why I keep pushing on it there so that our listeners can say, oh yeah, that would be a fit for me, or no, that wouldn't be a fit for me.
Sure.
So what would you say are the key, I don't know, principles of financial literacy in the family office context that is different from the general population?
Okay, that's different from the general population. You know, the conversations that I have been having one-on-one with the kids and the grandkids of our clients are still that fundamental stuff. Like it's this awareness of money coming in and money going out. It's talking about making conscious choice about what to do with the money that we have. It's awareness about where they're going to earn their own money, whether they're going to be a part of a family business or whether they're going to go out, create their own business or work. And so some of those fundamentals, they hold across our clients that are served by family office services and say the general population. Mm.
But the context is completely different because provided those kids don't infuriate their parents, there is a likelihood that they are going to participate in the legacy. They may inherit, there may be dollars available for them to buy a house. Like their circumstances are so different from the kids being raised by two working parents with a combined family income of 70 grand.
Fair enough. And definitely this the financial literacy initiative within Family Office Services is in response to this intergenerational transfer of wealth that we see coming where money is moving from generation to generation. And, you know, you've heard the adage of shirt sleeves
in three generations. Yes.
Yeah. And so we do really want to help those receiving generations carve out a path for themselves that is meaningful, so that they can use the money to have the life that they want.
One of the interesting dynamics that I've heard talked about with those I've talked who work in family office in other organizations is being a catalyst for a conversation about entitlement. And they wouldn't use this word, but if you're that family with two parents who are barely rubbing two pennies together, you don't expect that they're going to pay for university education because there's no money. But if you're raised in a family where there are millions, tens of millions of dollars, it's very different because you know that your parents have the capacity to pay for anything you would want. How do you begin that conversation such that two generations and maybe three can get on the same page in terms of what they're, and I'm using air quotes here, what those kids are entitled to? Differs by family, right?
Of course, it absolutely does. And I love that you use the word catalyst for conversation, because that is a fundamental part of my role, is saying, how do we open up these conversations about what is reasonable or what do we expect? And it's not across the board, it's what's specific to that family. And interestingly enough, I'm working a lot right now on carving out information about transferring values before transferring wealth, because within that family unit, you want your kids, the grandkids, to understand what's really important to them, to the family, before just taking the pot or making a plan with that money. So I think transferring the values and opening up the conversation to talk about what's really important is key.
What wisdom would you offer in terms of disclosure? And I'm sure it differs by family, but I know some wealthy families in which the evidence of their good fortune is everywhere, and other families where they live in, you know, like a beautiful but average home, they take vacations, and the kids have no idea that there are significant assets in the bank account.
Yeah, I think as with so many things, balance is appropriate and is key, and also knowing that child. So I think a parent has this perspective or has this ability to know their child and to know what they are ready for and when. And so I'm absolutely a proponent of the conversation and dialogue and information sharing, but also just the right amount at the right time. And so, you know, introducing little bits from a young age. So again, there's that awareness and consciousness. And then as the responsibility and the maturity builds, then what is that appropriate amount given the situation?
One of the big advantages for those who work with family offices is it really is everything in one place. So there's the planning, there's the investing, there's the estate planning, there's all the things. Do you find that the level of disclosure around the estate plan is higher, that Gen 2 would have some sense of what they may well inherit down the line? I mean, because that isn't something that's really talked about in most families.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like you said, having everything all in one place, one thing we really need to prepare for or plan for is that incapacity stage. And so, you know, where all the information might not be available to all the family members early on, as the mental and physical health declines of the primary client or the primary owner of the assets, there does need to be a team in place that is able to execute that person's wishes or support the family through these major transitions. So I'm sorry if I've gone off a bit from the direction of your original question, but yes, okay. I think, again, that right amount of disclosure and a team in place to be able to support the transition.
What have you learned about the intersection between family dynamics and financial literacy? Because within all families, there are people who are super interested, super engaged, maybe high income earners themselves, and others who are lower income earners who are completely disengaged. And we could reference various television shows that put the spotlight on wealthy families. And there are dynamics there that are quite different because of the assets involved.
Yes, much to my chagrin, not everybody is nearly as interested or excited about financial education or financial literacy as I am. And so again, I will come back to this mantra of let's try and get the right information or the right amount of information to the right person at the right time. And so I think it's relevance. And I also think there's that everybody in the family has a responsibility to contribute to the learning of each other. And so that's maybe creating opportunities to make something relevant or to bring something up, or just seizing a moment where, you know, these teachable moments, now I have my air quotes up, where something happens and you say, okay, this is interesting right now because it's very relevant to you. And then using that moment as an opportunity to bring some concepts into light.
You can throw a lot of money at a lot of problems and they will go away, but you can't just throw money at a gap in financial literacy, can you, Stephanie?
You cannot.
The level of engagement is required. Stephanie Dean, thank you for joining us today.
I'm so glad that you invited me to join. Thanks, Bruce.
Stephanie Dean is the manager of financial literacy at RBC Family Office Services. And we were talking about how do you think about financial literacy and teaching kids about some of these critical principles when the context is that there's a lot of money shaking around.